Sfarno Pashas Tazria Mitzorah. So the Sfarno begins the Parsha like many of the other Mefarshim, quoting the Chazal, that when it says Ishaki Sazria V'yolda Zachar, if a woman's Mazria Tchila, they'll have a boy, and if a man is Mazria Tchila, they'll have a girl. What does it mean to be Mazria? So by man, it's obvious. What does it mean a man when he's Mazria Tchila? Then they'll have a girl. But the other way, what does it mean an Isha Ki Sazria? So the Sfarno's explanation of this is not that the zera that a lady emits, that moisture, is the zera. It is not. However, he says, in other words, that's not part of the making of the baby. It's her egg and his zera. But again, this is, I assume, based on their scientific understanding at the times. What he says is that if the lady has her lechus, her moisture, first, so that gets into the her dam, and somehow that causes it to be more likely to have a girl. Okay, different Rishonim explained it based on that. Again, that seems like their science of their times. I don't think our Metzias, our science today, thinks of it that way. There are other Pshatim that do work with the science of our day, but this is the Sfarno here. And that's what the Sfarno says, that's the way it works. But it's okay. Anyway, and so getting back to the halacha part of it is Kimeni Das Tvasat Titma. So if she has a boy, she is Tami for 7 days. Why 7 days? And why is it on the 8th day that the boy has a bris mila? So the Sfarno says those are connected. Now, we're used to Chazal, the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who said, that's what Gemara says, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says the reason you have a bris mila at day 8 is because that's when the nida, the time she's separated from her husband, is over. And now the parents are happy, so the kids should be happy, so the bris mila should be a time of simcha. Okay, the Sfarno here says that in the first 7 days, the nidus that comes, that's there, the blood, is still considered nida blood, and it doesn't lose its tumma until day 8. So perhaps what he means is that, it sounds like what he means is a woman, her whole, most of her pregnancy is not seeing any blood because she's pregnant. Okay, then she gives birth and there's tons of blood. So perhaps understands that the dam nidus is still there, and whatever comes out of her at this point is considered dam nidus, and it doesn't lose its status for 7 days. But that's the thing that's clearer is what he says about the boy. Since the child was, like, this works with our science today, right? That the blood is there to support the child. So, I mean, a woman normally has dam nidus if she's not pregnant, because the blood is not needed to support the child. But once the lady gets pregnant, then the blood is needed to support the child. Okay, so that the Sfarno says that blood is somehow is part of this, part of the child, right? It supports him, and however the nutrients are transmitted from the mother to the baby, whatever it is, that dam nidus is part of this baby. And when he's born, it takes, like he said, 7 days for it to lose its tumah status. So the boy is also tumah because the dam nidus that is in him. And it takes 7 days for him to be not considered tummy anymore, and that's why you don't have the bris mila until it's day 8. Okay, and why a woman has 2 weeks is because he says there's more whatever lechus, there's more bad stuff still in the blood for when the child becomes when it's a girl. There's lechus is more fluid in the lady that messes with everything and makes it that it stays bad for 2 weeks. Okay, I don't know this Matthias said exactly, but that's basically what he says. And then we know they have Yimei Tara after that. And then after that, they need a carbon. Okay, what's the point of that carbon? So throughout these parshios, which is interesting, right, there's a lot of carbonos that do not seem to be from sin mentioned in this Tazria. That is, she gave birth. You know, it's a simple, we know Chazal tells us that she, you know, same also from Rishon Baichai, that she swears that she'll never have a kid again, and therefore she has to bring a carbon that she lied. But Pashtus is that she didn't do anything wrong. Why should she have to bring a carbon? And we also talk about Azava and Azav later on in the parasha. Also seemingly did nothing wrong, yet there is a carbon. So the Sfarno says, And it always says v'chipera, you know, it's like kapara. What kapara? So the Sfarno is consistent throughout that there was a chait. What is that chait or something bad that she needs a kapara for? And kapara could come from mental chait also. That is, if your head is in the wrong spot, also no good. And the person needs a kapara. So the Sfarno says that all the days that she's in her Yemei Tumah V'Tahar, all she's thinking about is Iske Klei Hazara Upu Lasom. And she's got to pay attention to her days, right, during that time. So she's thinking about her area, because she has to be cognizant of what day she's up to, for Tumah or for Tahara, for Bedikas, for Sfira, for whatever it is you got to pay attention to. And therefore her head is there, and therefore she's not Roy in that state to be going into the Beis HaMikdash, which is a pretty big statement. I mean, if your head's not in the right place, you shouldn't be walking into the Beis HaMikdash. That's pretty scary. Anyway, but that's what he says, and therefore she needs to bring a kapara at the end, meaning that she needs to mentally prepare. Once she's done with the Yemei Tumah V'Tahar, now she can bring a kapara, as in like that her head should be holy now and be Poneh LaKodesh, and that's the purpose of that karban. Okay, now we know from all our shiurim here that the Sfarno is very into connections of one pasuk to the other. That's a very big theme of his. Why is this next to that? This pasuk next to that pasuk. So after we talk about this lady giving birth and Dan Nidus, all of a sudden we talk about Tzaras. Says the Sfarno, when it says Adam Kiya Ba'or B'Saro, a person will have Tzaras. Says the Sfarno, Zayiya Barov Imlo Yitar Hazara Midam Anidus. Rove, he says, most of the time, Tzaras happens if the person was not Naki from Dam Nidus. So he seems to think it's the child of a Dam, of someone who has Nidus in them, will be a Mitzorah. Meaning if the parents were together when they were Anida, so the child will have Tzaras. Okay, now the Sfarno also explains that there's lots of Tzaras in the world that are not mentioned in the Torah, with all kinds of colors and all kinds of diseases. The Tzaras in the Torah is very specific. It has to be a certain exact look. So the Sfarno seems to generally, throughout the Parshios, understand Tzaras to be an actual disease, you know, that you can catch. Not catch, but I don't know. It's a regular, normal disease. But these four types that the Torah talks about, exactly this look and such, so that carries with it Tumah, and that's brought as Kaparas Averos, that it's a Mizbeach Kapara. Regular leprosy, that like Stam leprosy, he says that's generally not in Klal Yisrael. The Torah doesn't talk about them. It doesn't add Tumah to it, because it's not a Mizbeach Kapara. It would be like any other punishment if Klal Yisrael is on some very low level. That's Madvei Mitzrayim Haroim, he says. That Klal Yisrael generally wouldn't have that kind of Tzaras. It would be if they're sinning, big time. Tzaras is, and there's no Tumah there. Tzaras is when we're generally holy, and that there are these sins or whatever caused this. So it's very specific, and only those have Tumah. And we're going to say later that, you know, there are certain things that look like super Tzaras, where the whole person is covered in Tzaras. They're Tahor, because it's very specific, the halachas of Tzaras. Only there is their Tumah. And that's specifically for specific Averis. And there's a kapara at the end, because it's meant to be a kapara for that. Honestly, I'm not exactly sure how that goes with his first opening, where he says it comes from the Zera not having, you know, not being Nucky from Dam Nidus. How those go together, if he was just saying that generally Tzaras can come from that, but the ones that have Tumah are the ones that are about to be spoken about, or perhaps not. I'm not exactly 100% sure. But anyway, that's how he understands this. The Tzaras is that the Torah talks about it, or Mizbeach Kapara, specific types of disease, specifically for Klal Yisrael with Tumah, because they're meant to be a Kapara. Okay, and just in terms of the Lashon, the Sfarno points out that we find the Torah calling Tzaras different names. Sometimes it calls it a Nega, sometimes it calls it Tzaras, sometimes it calls it Nega Tzaras, sometimes it calls it Tzaras Noshenas. So he said these are all stages of the disease. Nega is the beginning of it. Nega Tzaras is when it gets a little bit worse. When it's full-blown Tzaras, it's just called Tzaras. When it's old Tzaras, it's called Tzaras Noshenas. When it's getting better, it's called Nirpa Hanega. Nirpa Nega. Anyway, those are different terms, just stages of the disease. Okay, getting back to the concept of it, which he said these specific Tzaras are meant as a kapara for people. So that's why there are Yemei Hezger, the person is kept in isolation, like jail, it's to think about your sin and try, hopefully you do better next time. Okay, now, who has to go see this nega? It's the Kohen. Why the Kohen? So, we know it's Xeris HaKosev, that it has to be a Kohen. If the biggest Rosh Hashiva walks over and the biggest Bucky in Maros of Taras walks over to someone and sees they have Taras, and they said, wow, you've got Taras, it's absolutely not true. Nobody has Taras till the Kohen walks over to him and says, you have Taras. Why is that? So, the Sforno says, the Pasuk says, Ki Sifse Kohen Yishmeru Das. We want the Kohen to be the Posek. We're supposed to get Torah from the Kohen. And you need experience in this. You can't, you know, it's like Maris today of Nida. You need experience. So just knowing stuff is not enough. You have to have experience. So if you have certain people are always the go-to people for a certain Mara, they become the experienced ones. So he says, one reason is if you have a specific group like the Kohanim, so then we get some experience. Because you need a certain expertise to know what's called a Mara or what's not. And number two is the Kohen is the Holy One. And he goes over to the person and he says, you, sir, you sinned. That's why this happened to you. You have to be mefashbish meisav, try to do tshuva. And he tells, the Kohen tells the guy, you need a daven. And adds the Sforno, at v'yispalel gam ha-Kohen elav. And the Kohen himself is supposed to daven for the person. This is today what we would think of the tzaddik or the Rebbe. You know, the Rebbe goes over and tells you, no, you need to do tshuva and you should daven. And then the Rebbe davens from the Talmud. It's similar. So the Kohen is supposed to be the Holy One. He does that to this person who comes to him with the Torah, says, listen, this is happening to you. You need to do tshuva and you need to daven. And then the Kohen also davens. And also that he has the one with experience. That's why it's the Kohen who has to do it. That's the Sforno's explanation. Okay, now as we discussed, this Taras is a normal disease. Based, you know, there is a disease called Taras and there's many others. The Sforno basically seems to think like it's a normal disease. But then there are things, and some learn it's all miracles, some learn it's a normal disease. When you come to the house and the clothes, the first one in Tesri is the clothes, but clothes, house, those are obviously 100% nace. Your clothes cannot get sick, your house cannot get sick. Clearly, that is 100% nace. And since this is all nace and all part of a person doing kapara, it has all kinds of rules. And only white clothes can get tzaras, not colored clothes. And only Jewish clothes have a din of tzaras, not Goyish clothes. And he explains why it's only on Jewish clothes, because he says, it's a really, actually, a long speech about how the point of creation, or the pinnacle of creation, is the human person. And because that person has a tzelem Elokim, which means they have the ability to choose right from wrong, and came with something godly to them. And when a person sins, they lower themselves, and when they don't, so when a person does a sin, b'shogeg, Hashem will make them lose their money or something like that, so they realize that they're doing something wrong. And if a person doesn't spend time thinking about why something is happening to their money, so then they become like animals, and Tachas HaTeva. But the Umma HaYisraelis, which, as it says, B'chah B'chah Hashem Elokecha Lios Lanus Am Segula, we are the Am Segula. We are not like that, and when bad things happen to money, which is the clothes in the houses, it's Me'or us that there's something wrong, and that's why Hashem sends it to us, to help us get back on the right path. So that's why there's no Nigi Batim by Goyim, because they wouldn't take it that way anyway. But we do, and therefore, so when Klal Yisrael is in general on a high level, again, this is not even Klal Yisrael always. This is Klal Yisrael on a specific level. And Hashem will send us these things, that when most of Klal Yisrael is on a high level and some Yechidim do something wrong, so Hashem will send them this to bring them back to the right path. And he says that, obviously, as we know, that you don't see Tzaras in every generation. He says that it must have been so rare, because Chazal have a machlokes about it in Sanhedrin, whether there ever was such a thing as Taras. In other words, like that Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Aleph Amalaf, discusses things like Ben Sora Mora, right? Some say, in Lohayav Lanivra, it's just Drosh Mekal Boschar, and Yiran Idachas. So there's one opinion that Taras is like that, that it never happened, it's just Drosh Mekal Boschar. So he says, Sforno's gist here is, we believe it did happen. But it was so, must have been so rare that people didn't even hear of it. So that means that we, Jewish people, weren't always, we're usually not at that level. We know, the Ramban and others say that it can only happen in Israel anyway. But regardless, so we have to be on a high level to get this, but it's there to bring us back, the Yechidim that are sinning, and bring them back to Tshuva. Okay, then he brings a karban. This is the next parsha, Metzorah. He brings a karban. One of his karbanos is an asham. One of the things he brings is an asham. So why do you bring an asham? An asham is someone who is moel bakodesh, someone who took something from the Beis HaMikdash they weren't supposed to use. So he says that tzaras comes from Lashon Hara and from Gaiva, which are both, he says, being moel bakodesh. I think most of us would figure out how being a Baal Gaiva is moel bakodesh, because Hashem is the only one who has Gaiva. Someone who themselves has Gaiva is like the Torah says, Gonev Malbushi. It's, right, Ein Ani V'Hu Yechol La'amod Bo L'Mechad. Chazal tell us, it's Gaiva is Hashem is the Misgaya. Hashem is the one who's over others. No one else is. So that's why that might be called Me'ila. Why would Lashon Hara be called Me'ila? So he says, because people usually say Lashon Hara privately and nobody else should hear. It's also like Mo'al Behekdesh, as if Hashem doesn't know what's going on. And since Chazal called it like Dochik Ragli Hashchina, so it's as if you're being Mo'al Behekdesh, so as if to kick Hashem out of this world. Then we have the discussion about Nigei Batim. So it says, before the Kohen looks at it, they should take everything out of the house. And not before that. Because this way, that gives time for the Bailim to do tshuva and to daven. And also gives time for the Kohen to daven. I mean, this is incredible. This is, as I say, it's from, because it says, Ufinu, that they will clear out the house, not Ufina. The Balabais is busy davening. Kohen is busy davening. And they're clearing out his house, so he has time. That's just to kill time. That's what he's, that's basically what he's saying, is to kill time so that they have time, the Kohen and the Bailim have time to daven, that it shouldn't be Taras. And afterwards, then he has time by himself too, right? There's Hezger where you have the building in Hezger to see what happens to it. He also brings a medrash that the breaking that the Torah describes, you break down the house and then you rebuild that wall. And then you break it, and then it gets, if it comes back again, the issue is still there. They break it down completely, and then it gets rebuilt. That's a remez to the Beis HaMikdash that was first destroyed, then rebuilt, and destroyed again, and then it will be rebuilt totally. And at the end of the parasha, as we mentioned at the beginning, is the Zav and the Zava. And again, here the Sfarno says this is there was a chet involved. That's why they need kapara. He'll ask me what kind of chet are we talking about? What chet did? What happened? So the Sfarno suggests that the zav, the reason it happened to him, is because he had rov hasmadas hamishkal v'hiruv, too much tashmish amita and thinking about such things that causes zav. And therefore, he has to bring a kapara. Because a person has this ziva, he says, because of the weakness of him, and I guess in that area, and something not going right there. And he says it comes because of too much tashmish and all that. So therefore, it's chait, and that's why he needs a kapara. And similarly, the lady will have this thing of an extended nidus, which is not normal, because normal nidus, you don't need a kapara when you're a nida, because that's the way Hashem created the world. But to be a zava gadola, that's a lot of extra bleeding, so that would be also become because of chet. She must have her chet or whatever, and therefore she needs a kapara as well.